the first and the great commandment. Mark 12, verse 28, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Father, speak to our hearts now. Help us to understand. Transform us and change us where we need changing. I pray, Lord, your will be done in each heart. May we leave today having felt that we have been in your presence. And when we leave today, Father, I pray that in every heart there might be this overflowing love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our Savior said, "This is the first and the great commandment." I think actually it is the first commandment in antiquity. In other words, I believe this commandment is older than even the Ten Commandments of the law written with the very finger of God and given to Moses. I think before God said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet." Before he said any of that, this law was one of the commands of the universe. This law was binding upon the angels before man was created. It was not necessary for God to say to the angels, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal." I think such things to them would be very likely impossible. But he did doubtless say to them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." When Gabriel first sprang out of his nothingness at the creative word of God, this command was binding upon him. And this then is the first commandment in all of history. It was binding upon Adam in the garden. Even before the creation of Eve, his wife, God had commanded this. Before there was a necessity for any other command, this law was written upon the very tablets of his heart, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Not only that, but it is the first commandment for its dignity. This command, which deals with God the Almighty, must take precedence over every other command. Other commandments there are which deal with man and man, but this deals with God as creator of man. Other commands of a ceremonial kind, when disobeyed, may involve only slight consequences upon the person who may happen to offend. But this command, disobeyed, provokes the very wrath of God and brings judgment down upon the sinner's head. This is the King of commandments. This is the Emperor of the law. It must take precedence over all the other commands that God afterwards gave to man. It is the first commandment for its justice. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God" comes to us with so much divine authority and is so ratified by the dictates of nature and by our own conscience that this command must take the first place for the justice of its demand. It is the first of commandments. If you break man's law, you may bear up under their penalty. But if you break this law, the penalty will be too heavy for your soul to endure. Who can escape when this is a man's offense? This offense will sink a man like a millstone lower than the lowest hell. Take heed that you recognize and obey this command above all others, for it is, according to Jesus, the first and the great commandment for all heaven and earth. The Savior said, it was the great commandment, and so it is. It is great because it embodies, literally, the first four of the Ten Commandments. When God said, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. When he said, thou shalt not bow down to idols nor worship them. When he said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. All of those commandments are contained in this mandate. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. This is the sum and the substance of law. And even the second commandment lies within the folds of the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For the loving of God would necessarily produce the loving of our neighbor. And so it is the great commandment then for its comprehensiveness. It is the great command because of its immense demand, which it makes upon us. It demands all of our heart. It demands all of our soul. It demands all of our mind. It demands all of our strength. Verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Matthew went on record in chapter 22 and verse 40 in addressing this same issue. Matthew says that following this delivery of this great truth, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what does this commandment say to you and me? First of all, this morning I want us to see the duty. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Secondly, I want us to see the measure of that duty. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul and strength. And then we want to see why we're to love God in that way. This command gives forth a summons to duty. And I know we don't like to hear that word duty, do we? Not many people like to hear that word. But how do men and women break this command? First of all, there is one class of people who break it willfully and grievously, for they hate God. There is the infidel who gnashes his teeth against the Almighty. There is the atheist who spits the venom of his blasphemy against the very person of his Maker. You will find those who rail at the very being of God. Though in their consciences they know there is a God, yet with their lips they blasphemously deny his existence. They say there is no God because they wish there was no God. These are like the raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This command bears hard on all them that hate, that despise, that blaspheme, that malign God, or that deny His existence or impugn His character. Oh, this morning, God says, thou shalt love Him with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And inasmuch as you hate Him and deny His existence, you stand this day condemned to the sentence of the greatest of all commandments. Another class of people know there's a God, but they neglect Him. They go through this world with indifference. They don't really care for any of these things. They have no particular care about God. They don't pay God half the respect they would pay their employer. They are willing to reverence all powers that be, but He who created them is passed by and forgotten. They would not be bold enough and honest enough to come straight out and say they despise God. They would not join the ranks of His open enemies, but they just simply forget God. God is not in all their thoughts. They rise in the morning without a prayer. They go to bed at night without bending their knee by the bedside. They go through a week's work and they never acknowledge God. Sometimes they talk about luck and chance. But God, the overruling God of providence, they never talk about Him unless it's to use His name in a byword. And by doing that, increase transgressions against Him. Oh, if you are here this morning and despise and neglect God, this command is to you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Now listen. Do I hear someone say, well, preacher, I just make no pretensions at being religious, but I believe I'm as good as those who do. I don't often darken the door of a church or a chapel. I really don't think that's necessary for me. And besides, there are many hypocrites in the church, and so I just don't think it's all that important to be religious or active in church. May I say a word to you? I think I will. Your Maker says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. When your Maker speaks to you, He appeals to you personally. And if you should tell Him, my Lord, I will not love Thee because there are hypocrites, would not your own conscience convince you of the absurdity of that reasoning? Ought not your better judgment to whisper to you, inasmuch then as there are hypocrites, take heed that you're not one of them? If there be so many pretenders who injure the Lord's work by their lying pretensions, so much the more reason why you should be the real thing and to help make the church sound and honest. If those who are in church do not come up to your standard of excellence, why don't you show us how it's done? But no, I believe the great fault of our time is the fault of indifference. People just do not care. They don't care enough to get involved. They don't care enough to sacrifice anything of themselves. They don't care enough to pick up anything that reminds them of a cross. They don't care if something is right or wrong. What is that to them? They'll not go to the trouble of researching something out to see where the truth lies and what the will of God really is. They don't think to pay their reverence to God with all of their hearts. Oh no. To love God with all of my heart, that's just too much for me to pay. And so I think I'll just forget this command. I'll just be totally indifferent to the summons of Almighty God. I'll be totally indifferent to this first and great commandment of all history. Others are somewhat more noble than these simpletons. Some do not forget that there's a God. Astronomers turn their eyes to the heavens and they view the stars and they marvel at the majesty of their Creator. Others marvel at the wisdom of God in the anatomy of the human body, or the anatomy of an animal or a fish, or the formation of a gem. They look at those wonders and they're amazed. They, whenever they think of God, think of Him with the deepest awe and the profoundest respect and reverence. You will never hear them curse or swear, and you'll find their souls are possessed with a deep awe of their Creator. Go down to SeaWorld. You'll be amazed at the different types of life and creatures that God has made and put in the ocean. But you know, having profound respect and reverence and deep awe for the Creator, that is not enough. Did you hear me? That is not enough. That is not obedience to this command. God does not say, thou shalt wonder at Him. Thou shalt stand in awe of Him. He asked more than that. Our God says, thou shalt love me. Thou shalt love me. It's good to adore the great Creator, but that's not all He asks. God does not ask for your admiration. He asks for your affection. Others, like Pharisees of old, they like to debate and seem to be very knowing in spiritual truths. They judge and impugn the character of all others around them. They can dispute about the things of God with all their hearts, but head knowledge is about all they have. Their religion's like a dead fish. It's cold and stiff. You pick it up and it's a lifeless thing in your hand. Their souls are never stirred. Their hearts are never thrown into what they do. They contemplate, but they do not commune. They meditate, but they do not love. They can think of God, but they never give up their souls to Him. They never embrace Him in the arms of their affection. Oh, to you cold-blooded thinkers, to you this text speaks this morning. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Oh, so many today are religious but lost. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. So many practice the religion of the scribes and Pharisees, a religion of tradition and commandments of men with no love in their hearts to God. Why, some go to their churches as if they were going to be horsewhipped. to them it's a dull and dreary thing. If it were not the custom and just expected of them, they would sooner be anywhere else than in God's house on Sunday. And if they make it Sunday morning, don't expect them to be back Sunday night or Wednesday night. Oh, no. I remember the last service I was in at the First Baptist Church of Marshfield, where I grew up. Helen and I were going to that church after we got married, and it's the church we got married in. But I remember things going liberal along the way, and they came out with a different version of the Bible, and that upset me, and I'm still upset about that. But then everything else went liberal too, and I remember our time came. You know, back then we had two revivals a year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And I remember the revival preacher coming to the pulpit that night, and he just had a little piece of paper in his hand, and he said, I'm just like you are. He said, I'd much rather be home tonight watching the Super Bowl. If I'm just going to take a few minutes here and I'm going to let you go so we can all go do what we really want to do. And he told the truth. We were there a few minutes and he left to go do what he wanted to do. I wanted to hear the Word of God. I was there because I love Jesus. I was hungry and thirsty to know what God wanted of me. I told Helen, I said, well, that's the last time we'll be coming. A lot of people, this day and hour, they have no delight in prayer. They pray because they think they ought to pray. They talk of God with great propriety, but they never talk about God with love. Their hearts never rejoice at the mention of His name. Their eyes never glisten and run down with tears at the thought of His mercy. Oh, I've seen people come forward to get saved, and people will be weeping all over the church. Some praising the Lord. And you look over and you see them, and not a tear in their eyes. They're looking around like, what in the world's going on? What's everybody getting so excited about? I had a fellow tell me one time, he was in a great service, heaven came down. And people got to testifying about what God meant to them. Weeping. You know what that fellow said to me after service? I never forgot it. He said, all these people talk about getting saved and they get so emotional about that. He said, I don't understand how they can get so emotional about something that happened so long ago. Let me tell you something. If God ever moves in your heart, if God ever gives you, if He ever takes that stony heart out of your chest and gives you a heart that's tender and kind and that can feel something, if He ever gives you a new spirit, if He ever puts His spirit within you, I promise you, you're going to remember it and you're going to rejoice every time you remember it. I don't care how long ago it was, you'll just be thankful to God that you got in on it and that you got a God that loves you and you love Him. Amen. Amen. Well, I got to go on. Listen, a lot of people Their hearts never rejoice at the mention of His name. Their souls never leap when they meditate on His work. Why? Because their hearts are all untouched. While they're honoring God with their lips, their hearts are far from Him. And they're still disobedient to this one command. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Do you really understand this commandment? Do I not see some of you looking for loopholes through which to escape? You may say, well, I never do anything against God. That's not what it says, my friend. It's not what you do not do. It is this. Do you love God? Do you love Him? The command is, thou shalt love Him. Well, Pastor, I do a great deal for God. I teach in the Sunday school, or, you know, I send my tithe. You know, I send the kids with Mama. Yeah, I know. But do you love God? It's the heart God wants. And He'll not be content without it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And that leads me to the second point. How much am I to love God? Where shall I fix the point? I'm to love my neighbor as myself. You say, preacher, am I to love God more than that? Certainly. The measure is much greater. We are not bound to love ourselves with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. But we are to so love God. And that means we're to love God above ourselves and even above our neighbor. We're to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, our mind, our strength. And this means that we're to love God supremely. Husband, you love your wife, don't you? Amen? Amen. And you cannot love her too much. Except in one case. And that is if you love her before God. And you prefer her pleasure to the pleasure of the Most High. That would make you an idolater. That a lot of men today couldn't handle life if their wives were to die. Why? Because of men have worshipped their wives and they've made an idol out of her and they have substituted their wife for God. Children are to love their parents and they can't love them too much. But remember, there's one precept that overrides that. You're to love the Lord thy God more than your father, more than your mother. Your Creator demands your first and highest affection. You are to love Him with all your heart. We're allowed to love our relatives. We're taught to do so. He that does not love his own, especially those of his own household, is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. But the love of our families ought to pale in comparison to our love for God. We're not to love the dearest object of our heart so much as we love God. He is the one who should be enthroned in our hearts. He's to occupy the chief seat. He's the rightful king of all your affections. Now let me ask you, have you kept the commandment? Do you love God supremely? Do you love Him so devoutly that He is not exceeded by any other love in your life? Is the love you have for Him the most intense, the most preeminent, surpassing all other loves? Do you love Him so much that you throw your whole self into the love that you give to Him? You love Him with all of your heart. With all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. We're called to love Him with all of our lives. the totality of our being. And if we are called to die for God, we are to prefer God before our very lives. You say, preacher, are you crazy? No, I'm just telling you how much love God deserves and how much He's asking. The martyrs didn't think it was asking too much. You look at the martyrs of old. They all had that kind of love. Rather than disobey God, they chose rather to be cast into the furnace. Rather than disobey God, they said, bring on the animal skins and dress us up in animal skins and take us out there into the middle of the Colosseum and turn the lions and the tigers and the leopards loose. I'd rather them rip my body limb from limb and devour this body. I'd rather that happen than for me to deny my Lord. Are you ready to give up your home, your house, your liberty, your friends, your comforts, your joys, your life itself at the command of God? There are people today, no doubt, in Muslim countries there are Christians who will lose their lives today because they love the Lord. They face this question every day of their lives. I read the letter this morning. Edgar Fagali is recommending that all the missionaries leave the Muslim countries because of all the terrorism that's being directed, and every missionary is going to be a target for murder. Every missionary's wife, every child, every son, every daughter, a target. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Do we really love God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul? Do you love God with all your mind? The very intellect we possess is to love God. Many believe in God, but they don't love that belief. In their heart of hearts and in the intellectual processes of their minds, they know there's a God, but they really wish there wasn't. Some today would be very much pleased if they could convince themselves that there was no God. If there were no God, you could live as you please. If there were no God, you could plunge yourself into the depths of wickedness and have no fear of the consequences. To some, it would be the greatest joy imaginable if they could just hear and know it to be true that the eternal God has ceased to be. But a Christian never wishes any such thing as that. The thought that the eternal God lives on high is the sunshine of His existence. His intellect bows before the Most High, not like a slave who bends his knee only because he must, but like the angel who prostrates himself because he loves to adore his Maker. He blesses God because of who He is. He loves with all of his mind, and he has no thought or judgment or conviction or reason that he does not lay at the feet of his God and consecrate to his divine honor. He does not let his mind imagine evil thoughts or take pleasure in that which is impure. Not only that, but we're to love Him with all of our strength. Strength to me means activity. serving Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I am to love Him with all my time, with my talent, with every atom of my strength. Brethren, how we wish we could be found faithful in keeping this commandment. Would it not be heaven on earth if this whole planet were to so unreservedly love the Lord? Heaven on earth. Hey, it's going to be that way in heaven one day. Amen. And it's going to be that way when King Jesus reigns one day. Amen. Amen. So let me ask you in closing, what's your response to this commandment? Will just trying to obey this command do for us? No, it won't. None of you will say you'll try to obey this command and thereby hope to be saved. The best Christian in the world would have to admit that he has broken this command from his youth up. Who is there who has not violated this command every day? You ask the question, who then can be saved? And that's the point I want to bring you to today. The Apostle Paul said, by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. You see, even if you could keep this law from this point on, what shall be done with your sins of yesterday? We see the need then for a Savior. We need Him who kept the commandment fully to stand in for us, to substitute His righteousness for ours. What I cannot do myself, my Savior has done for me. The blood of atonement has been shed. God has accepted it on the day when He raised Him from the dead. Jesus said, if you believe not, I am He, ye shall die in your sins. But I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And in so doing, His righteousness becomes mine. And my debt to God is paid in full. Washed away. All my sins are washed away. John the Baptist said it like this one day, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Someone may say, well, oh, I wish I could believe that. Well, can I tell you again? Do you feel today that you're guilty? You've not kept this commandment. You've not loved God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. You haven't loved Him that way. Do you, with tears in your eyes this morning, believe that Jesus can save you? Are you willing to trust Him and Him alone who died on the cross as the only begotten Son of God to save you from your sins? Are you willing to own Him? Are you willing to unashamedly confess Him as your Lord and Savior and surrender your life to Him? And yes, love Him with all your heart. Are you willing to do that? And after that, I know that if you truly give your heart and life to Jesus today, that you will fall on your knees and you will say, Lord, I thank You that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So now, Lord, help me from this time forth forever to keep Thy commandments. Lord, give me a new heart. Take away this old stony heart that will never love You as it should. And Lord, give me a new heart. Give me Your Spirit, a new spirit within me. Cause me to walk in Your statutes and in Your judgments and do them. Then I will love You with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind, and with all of my strength, even forevermore. 1 John 5:3-4, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. What about you? Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. It will be a blessed thing to die in the Lord, having loved Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. John, the great revelator, said, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Come, ask God to save you. Ask God to enable you to do it. He will give you a new heart and a new spirit right now if you will ask Him. If you will ask Him. Let us pray.